thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Well, praise God. I believe that. I believe that. How about you? If I was looking for the Lord, and the Bible says that the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and I read about somebody that opened the eyes of the blind, I would know that was the Lord. And I am going to talk to you about the Lord. But first of all, we're going to talk about Bartimaeus. All of us, we know the song, Amazing Grace. And we sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was what? Blind. Was blind. But now I see. And brother, if you were blind, if you were blind once and now you see, if you were spiritually blind and intellectually blind and blind to the things of God and blind to the things of holiness and righteousness and blind to the things of the Spirit, and now you see, then brother, sister, I got news for you. It's the Lord that gave you that sight. Amen. Amen. It's the Lord who gives sight to the blind. And if you can't see, if you cannot see the way through this life, if you can't see your way to heaven, if you can't see your way out of sin, if you can't see your way to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, and if you can't see your way to follow the Lord instead of following your own desires and your own will, well, then this is for you this afternoon. And this is good, and this will help you. Hope it does. So let's talk about Bartimaeus, first of all. When Jesus finds him, he is sitting by the highway side, you notice. And notice also, the Bible is very specific in what it says. And it says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, there was blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was not in Jericho. Jesus didn't find him in Jericho sitting and begging. He found him outside of Jericho. That's a strange thing. If you were a beggar, if you were somebody who had to beg for money, if you were somebody who had to have people give you money or give you something to survive, where would you go? You'd go in the city where all the people live, right? Ah, but see, if you remember the story, after the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, God placed a curse on that city and commanded that no man ever rebuild it. Joshua 6:26. Well, here we are in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus is passing through Jericho, which shouldn't be there, right? Somebody rebuilt it against the warnings of God. In fact, you find out in 1 Kings 16 that a man named Hiel, H-I-E-L, rebuilt Jericho some 300 years after its destruction. And it cost him two of his sons. He ended up burying both of them in the wall of that accursed city. Now, I learned something from that. This man, Bartimaeus, he's going to be healed, brother. He's going to get sight from Jesus. Jesus is going to work a miracle in this man's life. But I want to tell you something, friends. You can like it or you can argue with it all you want, but you have got to be in the right place. You got to be in the right place. Now, this man said, that is an accursed city. That city is against God. That city is something that God hates. That city is something that God wanted to be destroyed. He said, if I've got to beg, sure, there's more money in the city. There's more people in that city. There's more opportunity in the city. I'll make out better in the city, but if God said that city is accursed, I'll sit outside the city and take my chances of people going by on the highway before I'll go in and have part in that city. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus Christ wants to give you sight. Jesus Christ wants to show you the way home to glory. He wants to show you the way to walk in the Spirit. He wants to show you the way to be blessed and happy and prosperous and joyful in your life. But you've got to make up your mind that if God has put a curse on this world, and God has put a curse on the things of this world, and God has put a curse on the habits and the vices and the desires and the joys and the pleasures that the devil offers, I'll sit outside the city and wait for God to bless me there. Amen? You got to make up your mind about that. I'll tell you something. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. I like that message. Jesus said, if a man is not willing to leave his father and his mother and his sister and his brother and his in-laws and follow me, he's not worthy to be my disciple. I like that. That's the Bible gospel. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. That's good. And then Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Why? Why should we? Because she looked back and lusted after the things of Sodom. Okay? And she lost her life. And I'm telling you today, I don't care if you're bound by pride or selfishness or drugs or liquor or anything else in this world, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ can free you. Jesus Christ can give you sight. Jesus Christ can deliver you from that, but you got to be willing to get out from it. Amen? You know, as you go through all these Bible stories, do you know what comes up in every single story? It's that Jesus will never stay where he is not welcome. And he will never refuse to stay where he is welcome. Okay? And I'm telling you something. Jesus Christ, he's not welcome in this world. And if you want Jesus Christ to abide with you, and you want to abide with Christ, you can't stay in the world. Amen. Now, so Bartimaeus, he's outside the city, outside the cursed city. And then the next thing is this. He, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, and there is blind Bartimaeus. And he sat by the highway side begging. Now, I'm going to say something, and you're going to think this is really strange. But this man, this blind man, had all the advantages. For somebody that wanted a miracle and somebody that wanted to get blessed, this man had all the advantages. Really? See, do you know what it is that keeps you from seeing the Lord? You know what keeps you from beholding the glory of God? You know what keeps you from looking beyond this world and seeing all the great and wonderful things that Jesus Christ has for you? All the other things that your eyes are looking at. I mean, your eyes are on your car. Your eyes are on your house. And your eyes are on the wardrobe. Your eyes are on your job. And your eyes are on the money. And your eyes are on your savings account. Your eyes are on the news. I mean, friends, you got so many things to look at that you might never catch a glimpse of the Lord or catch a glimpse of glory. But this man, Bartimaeus, this man, he had an advantage. He was blind. He was blind. He couldn't see a thing. He couldn't lust after dirty pictures. He couldn't lust after women. He couldn't lust after money. He couldn't lust after fine automobiles. He couldn't lust after a drive in the mountains. I mean, all he had was what you see when you close your eyes. Try it. You say, what do you mean? He had all the advantages. I mean that he didn't have a bunch of junk getting in the way. He didn't have a bunch of stuff clouding his vision and clouding his eyes and keeping him from focusing on what he really needed. And then he was a beggar. You know, I think it would be terrible to be blind. I really do. I thank my God that I have physical eyesight. And I think it would be a terrible thing to be a beggar. I mean, God's been pretty good to most of you, hasn't he? But I can't think of anything worse than being both blind and a beggar. You ever thought about that? I mean, it would be hard enough to have to sit and beg. That'd be a hard thing. But can you imagine being a blind beggar? You wouldn't know where the people were that you could beg from. But you wouldn't know where somebody was to be able to approach them. And how would you approach them? And when you held out your hat or you held out your cup or whatever you were using for collection, you wouldn't know if they were putting something in or taking something out. I mean, I can't think of anything worse in this world than being a blind beggar. And yet, again, I say this man had all the advantages. Because do you know what keeps people in my generation and people in my society from coming to Jesus and receiving what they really need from him? They've never been reduced to that place where they've got nothing. See, Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. And brother, with two freezers full and four cabinets full and money in your pockets and groceries whenever you need them, I'm certain you don't pray that prayer like some people in this world pray that prayer. Amen? I mean, that Bible says, consider the lilies. They don't toil or spin, and yet your heavenly Father clotheth them. There's some of you that probably never one time had to ask your heavenly Father to clothe you. You just took the money out of your pocket, you went to the store, you looked around, and you bought what you wanted. Amen? What I'm saying to you is this. If your health is good, and you are prospering, and you've got clothes on your back, and food in the cupboard, and friends, and a full tank of gas, and all kinds of other things, the tendency, whether you think it or not, or whether you mean it or not, the human heart tends to say, what do I need God for? And when I really need God, and when I'm really in a spot where I have to have the Lord, I thank God that he's there, but right now I just don't need him. Now, you may not say that with your mouth, and you may not think that in your mind, but in your heart, you just got no use for God. And so I'm just telling you, the better off you are physically, the less you will see a need of God. And this fella here, friends, he has been reduced to the place where he knew that he couldn't do anything for himself. And let me tell you something. This man is where he needs to be. I mean, when you get to the place where you say, I cannot deliver myself. I cannot help myself. Then you're ready. Then you're ready. And some of you sit here, you've got a Bible, you're always in church, everything's going good, the job is good, your health is good. And you think, boy, thank God I'm not in the shape some people are in. You ought to wish to God that you were. Because brother Jesus is about to do something for this fella here. That he's going to do something for him that he wasn't doing for any of the kings in the palace. That he wasn't doing for the governor. He wasn't doing for the mayor. He wasn't doing for the chief of police. He was about to do it for a blind beggar sitting by the highway side. Amen. And what God wants in our lives, he wants us to get to the place where we see ourselves as blind beggars that need Jesus' help. Man, if you don't come to that place, you can never be saved. But once you've been saved, if you don't get to that place, you never get delivered from the things of this world and the things of this life. Amen? Let's see what else happened. Verse 47, Mark 10:47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus! He's blind. He didn't know which one of the people it was passing by, which one was Jesus. He just heard that he was coming. And there was a whole lot of disciples, a whole lot of people going by the highway. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. A couple of deacons ran over real quick and said, you're at church. Jesus is here. Shh, quiet, listen up. And it's a shame that you find that kind of restriction in the Baptist churches these days. I mean, we wouldn't want to start praising the Lord in church now, would we? And if you can't do it here, where else are you going to do it? The Bible says, they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Amen. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Don't hold your tongue. It makes me ashamed that our churches have a testimony like that in the world. This fella, he knew Jesus was coming. He knew Jesus would help him. He wanted Jesus to help him. He wanted Jesus to know that he wanted his help. And he didn't care who thought what about it. He just let loose, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Quiet, hey, shut that guy up. He looks like a fool. Hey, shut up. He didn't care what he looked like. He couldn't see anyway. I mean, amen. I mean, you don't shut that stuff up. they're warning him, you know. You better shut that stuff up. We're going to take your seat away from you. We're going to take your membership away from you. We're going to take your place away in the church. This guy didn't have a place. He was a beggar. What does he care? What did he care that anybody said or what anybody thought about him? All he cared about is Jesus was there and he wanted Jesus. So they said in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Not just one man, not just one woman, not just a couple of people, many people, telling him, shut up. You know, we're trying to have a nice orderly procession here. Jesus is coming by. Don't bother Jesus. You know, we want to put on a big show. Hey, let me tell you something. My Bible tells me that there are all these people that were not interested in the noise, and they were not interested in the blind man, and they were not interested in the beggar. And Jesus is just walking on out of town. And one poor old blind beggar got to hollering. And you know what Jesus did? He stopped. He would have kept going out of town, but he stopped. I'm going to tell you something, and you can take it or leave it. You can like it or not. I know we're all different, and I know everybody's got a different background. But I'm telling you something, I've seen the Lord walk through here in the song service while we're singing. I've seen the Lord walk through here sometimes when people give a testimony. I've seen the Lord walk through here in the preaching of the word. And I just wonder sometime if somebody got to the place where they really wanted the Lord to stop and got hollering for him to stop, if he wouldn't just stop and bless us. Instead of just walking on through and having people say, boy, that sure was a wonderful procession. It sure was good to see the Lord here today. What if he stopped and stayed for a while? What if he did something? I bet if he stopped and stayed a while, he would do something. Amen? I say, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep hollering until he stops. Amen? You say, well, a bunch of people might charge you to quit the hollering and quit the yelling. Let them do it. Let them go on. Amen. I'm a blind beggar, and I can't see my way out of the day, much less through to tomorrow. If Jesus doesn't stop and open my eyes and shine a light on my path and give me a lamp for my feet, I'll lose my way anyway. I don't want the Lord to go on by and leave me sitting there a beggar and blind. I mean, I'm glad I'm blind. I'm glad I'm a beggar so the Lord can help me. But I don't want him to go on by before he stops and helps me. Amen? And brother, if I get to feeling like that he's going to go on by, I'm going to do what? Verse 48, he cried the more a great deal. Whatever it takes, amen. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hush that. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hush that up. Jesus, over here. He didn't care what they said, man. Didn't bother him. He's not going to stop now. He needed a touch from Jesus Christ. And friend, if you ever get to the place where you know that you need and have to have a touch from Jesus Christ, you're not going to let anybody stop you from seeking him. You're not going to let opinion. You're not going to let ridicule. You're not going to let what people think about you. You're not going to let that stop you. You are going to get the Lord's attention. So the Bible says this, verse 49. And Jesus stood still. I like that. Jesus stood still. Isn't that something? Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we really need, is less sorrow and less testimony and less preaching and less witnessing and less soul winning and less effort? Isn't it what we really need is for Jesus to just to stop and stand still in our midst? Friends, there's never been a time in the history of the world whenever Jesus came someplace and stopped and stood still that he didn't do something for the people that were there. Now, we know that and we believe that and we say with our mouth that we want that. And I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, when are we going to start crying the more and hollering and begging for Jesus to stop? Stay with us. You may not yell out like I was just trying to yell out with what voice I have left. you may, maybe you get on your face before God and cry out from your heart. I don't know how you do it. But I'm telling you something. What we need is for Jesus to stop and just stand still right here. That's what we need. We need that. Now watch this. Jesus stood still. Now I like this. And commanded him to be called. And they call. Okay. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Now, are you saved? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you walking with him? Are you with him? The Lord has given you a place. He's given you a responsibility. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Here's a blind man who has a need. The blind man, he's calling out to Jesus. Jesus hears the cry of the blind man and is ready and willing and able to meet the need of that blind man. And Jesus says to his disciples, you bring him to me. Isn't that what he said? I mean, I don't know how far away he was, but Jesus said, you bring that man to me. I command that man to come unto me. Didn't Jesus say that to all the world? He said, come unto me. Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. That's what he said. He commanded them to come, but he gave the command to you, to me. And he told you, he told me to go out on the side of the highway, find the blind men, find the beggars and the people that had a need, the people that were calling on the Lord. And he told us to tell them, the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, commands you to come unto him. And it's our responsibility. to bring the blind and bring the beggars, bring those that are calling on the Lord to Jesus. That's our responsibility. Now these disciples, suppose they had not been walking with Jesus, then they couldn't have done what Jesus wanted them to do. Suppose they had not been close enough to the Lord to hear what he said. They couldn't have done it. Suppose once he told them that, they forsook their responsibility or didn't do what the Lord told them to do. They couldn't have done it. You say, well, would Jesus have still healed the man? I don't know. But I know when those disciples did walk with him, when they did hear his word, when they did do what he told them to do, when they did bring the man to Jesus, he did heal the blind man. I know that. So why not just walk with the Lord and hear his voice and go out and look for the blind and look for the beggars and look for those sitting by the wayside and bring them to Jesus? He's already commanded that they be brought. He said to you in one place, he said, when you make a feast, invite people. And if the people you invite don't come, go out and find some other people. Invite them. And if they won't come, go out and find what? The poor and the lame and the maimed and the blind and the halt and the people that nobody loves, the people that can't pay you back, and bring them. He's already told you to bring people to him. He's given the command. Amen? Right? Now watch this. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, you know, watch, these fellows, they got faith in Jesus. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Okay? Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now, I'm going to say something to you. There's three things that happened in this man's life before he ever received his sight. First of all, there was a comforting. There was a comforting. They told him, be of good comfort. Now, I don't know what your particular problem is. I don't know what your particular blindness is. I don't know what your particular poverty is. But I know this, it ought to be a comfort to your heart to know that Jesus is standing by. It ought to be a comfort to your heart to know that he's calling. It ought to be a comfort to your heart to know that the one person in this world that can do something about it, he's present. That comforts my heart. That's a comfort. And then the second thing about it is this. He said, rise, rise. Well, I'll tell you what. When you meet Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ meets you and you enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you never go down. You never go down. And I'll tell you something else. You never stay where you are. You always rise. You always go higher. You always get lifted up. Amen. There's a comfort. You rise, and then look what it says. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Amen. He's the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And that's a wonderful truth. Isn't it good to know that Jesus is the good shepherd? But how much better is it to know that the Lord is my shepherd? See, I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I know that he died to pay for the sins of all mankind. But how much better is it to know that the Lord is my Savior? You see, it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus has called everybody in this world to come unto him. But how much better is it to know he calleth for thee? See, me. That call was a personal call from Jesus Christ. to me. That's a wonderful thing, you know that? And that's also a wonderful thing about this King James Bible. It shows you that that's an individual thing. It's not a plural word, as it would be. It would be Y-O-U. It could be plural or it could be individual. You don't know. Okay, but let's read some more here. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Okay, now a garment doesn't seem like much, but that is all that that fella had. So it probably did seem like a lot to him. And I don't know what it is that you are holding on to that you count as precious or important in your life. But I'm telling you, whatever it is, you'll find out that it's not 1/100th the blessing that Jesus Christ will be to you if you cast it aside and you come to him. It may be drugs. It may be your pleasure. It may be your money. It may be drink. It may be your wicked friends. It may be your social status. I don't know what it is that you picked up along the way that you're holding on to that is keeping you from coming to Jesus, but I'm telling you now, cast it away. Get rid of it and come on to Jesus. Amen. You know, these walls here are pretty bare, but if you were to put a painting on that back wall, I could stand here and I could look at it and I could give you all the details of everything that's in that picture. I could see that because I'm back far enough to be able to see it. Okay? But if I was to walk right up to it and put my nose right on it, right on that picture, I couldn't tell you anything about it except maybe a general color, but it would be blurry, right? If I was right up on that picture, I couldn't tell you what it was. Okay? I'd be too close. And some of you, you've had sin, and you've had the world, and you've had pleasure right up in your face so long that you can't see how it has bound you and how it has blinded you. And you can't see anything but that pleasure. You can't see anything but that world. And I'm telling you, I'm not the Lord, but maybe I'm just the one that he sent to tell you that the master is calling for you. And I'm back far enough from it to look at it and see and to be able to tell you that thing is blinding you. That thing is keeping you from seeing your way. That thing is keeping you from walking in the Spirit and walking in the path that the Lord has for you. I can see it because I'm back far enough to see it. I can't see it because it's not because I got better eyesight than you or because I'm more holy than you. I can see it because I've got a better vantage point. It's not right up in my face. I don't know what it is that's keeping you from coming to Jesus. But I'm telling you, why don't you just cast it aside and come on? Verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose. And I like this. He didn't come to the disciples. No, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Now, if he had come to those disciples, he would have found out something. They didn't have any more power than he did. Amen. If he had come to those disciples, he would have found out they couldn't help him. They could not meet his need. And I want to tell you today, don't look to me for the help you need. I'm just the guy telling you the master is calling. I'm just telling you Jesus is calling you. I'm just telling you, come on, Jesus is here. He wants to help you. Don't stop with me. Don't rise up and cast away your garment and then come to me, because I'm telling you, 3 years later, you'll be sitting at home saying, I'm not going to church anymore. I had this preacher one time, and I found out this preacher wasn't any better than I am. Hey, they're all that way, man. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is beautiful, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Isn't that good? Now, some of you, you've been Baptists all your life, and you don't know about this kind of Jesus because he's a little bit too close to the miraculous for you, you know? He's not, you know, two songs and a chorus and a message and then an altar call and out by noon. He's the Jesus that says, "What do you want? What would you like me to do for you?" I like that Jesus. It may not be the Jesus of religion. It may not be the Jesus of some of our fundamental churches, but he is the Jesus of the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something, and don't get me wrong. I believe this Jesus to be the same as he was yesterday, and he's the same as he'll be forever. I believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will say to you, "What would you have me to do for you?" After you leave Jericho and sit down in a place as a blind beggar and call on him, then he'll say that. Amen? But I believe that if you do all that, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will walk right into the presence of that prayer closet with you, weeping and calling on his name, and he'll say, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I believe that. I really do. I believe my Lord Jesus Christ can come and meet you in a place of prayer. And before you say amen, I believe he can take every desire you ever had for cigarettes, for beer, for drugs, for pleasure, for fornication, for selfishness, for pride, for gossip, for worldliness. I believe my Jesus Christ can say to you, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Amen. Amen. I don't believe there's any reason why you've got to stay by the side of that road begging and blind. I don't. I believe if you will call on Jesus, he will stop. And when he stops, if you'll come to him, I believe he'll hold those nail-scarred hands out to you and say, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I believe it. The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way." Now watch what he says. He didn't say, "Go thy way, I have made thee whole." He said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." See, there's no question about the power of Jesus Christ. There's no question about the authority of his word. There's no question about what he can do for you. There's no question about what he said he would do and wanted to do and desires to do. No question about that. The only question is, will you believe it? The only question is, will you put your faith in him and trust him to do what he said? He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Is it true? Yes, it's true. Will he do it? Yes, he'll do it. Do you trust him? Amen. Do you have faith in what he said? Amen. And do you have life more abundantly? Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in the spirit? Are you full of joy? Are you full of rejoicing? Do you have victory over sin? Do you have the victory over your flesh? Are you happy in the Lord? Are you glad that you know the Lord today? Well, Jesus can do all that for you. He's done it for millions of people. He's doing it for people right now. It's not a question of whether or not Jesus can do it. The question is, do you have faith in Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus so that the Jesus who has given other blind men sight, so the Jesus who's made other people happy, so the Jesus that has given other people abundant life can give it to you? He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Immediately he received his sight. We don't have all the details here, but I'm going to speculate. My speculation is that this fella started to carry on all excited. That's what I'd do. My guess is that he got healed out there on that highway and immediately started carrying on and probably scared some people half to death. That's my speculation. See, my speculation is that this fella just cut loose and had a fit. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, over 31 years ago, my eyes were opened for the very first time. See, the thing is, I didn't know that I was blind. I mean, I could see all the things all around me. I could read, I could observe, but in my heart, spiritually, I was blind, just as blind as I could be. And you know what a wonderful thing it is to have your eyes opened, and the first thing you see is Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I mean, the very first thing you see is Jesus. And you need to make sure that you never forget that, because as the years go by, as you walk in the way, as you follow the Lord, you're going to see Christians do things that they ought not to do. And you're going to see Christians not do things that they should be doing. And you're going to see churches do things that don't seem right. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of terrible things that you are going to see. But you always remember in your heart, you know, when my eyes were opened, I didn't see churches, and I didn't see church people, and I didn't see preachers. I saw Jesus. It was Jesus who opened my eyes. It was Jesus that gave me sight. It was Jesus that delivered me. So he's the one I'm going to keep my eyes on, no matter what anybody else does. He gave me my eyes. I'm going to keep those eyes on him. And the Bible says Bartimaeus didn't go back to Jericho. He didn't go back to the wayside begging. It says he followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. Amen. And all I can say to you is this. If you are blind this afternoon and you know it, that's good. Because Jesus is here and he can give you sight. And you can follow him. And if he has given you sight, I want to say to you, keep your eyes on him. And use the sight that he's given you to follow him in the way. Amen? Amen? I'm just so glad I knew I had a need. I'm just so glad that Jesus came my way. I'm glad he came down the road where I was sitting one time begging, and he opened my eyes and gave me sight. I just want to say to you today, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank him. I thank him for stopping. I thank him for hearing my cry. I thank him for calling me to himself, touching my eyes, giving me life, letting me follow him in the way. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's the one who took me up from my place of begging. And I know he'll do the same for you. I hope you know him. If you don't know him, I hope you'll start hollering. I mean, keep hollering. Keep yelling till he stops. Let him touch you and do for you what only Jesus can do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this picture of salvation through this blind man Bartimaeus. We thank you, Lord, that you showed us the importance of faith and knowing that you're the only one, Jesus, who can save us and give us eternal life. Help us, Lord, those of us who are calling ourselves Christians already. We have placed our faith in you. You've already given us spiritual sight. Help us, Lord, in our walk with you to keep our eyes on you and not let anybody who's doing wrong distract us or deter us. Help us, Lord, to stay in your way, in the way of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.